Let's just pray. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. All of us are here by your design, placed by your hand and for your purpose. We thank you, Father, for that. I ask, Father, please, that you will just bless the message, that it will be clear, that it will be received well, and most of all, that it will lift up the name of Jesus and glorify you. But I also pray for this little illustration that it will make sense, and that the point will be very clear and received. For we ask it for your glory and your honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got two eggs here, obviously. And you ever hear the expression, an egghead? Well, these are two Christians. So don't take it the wrong way. I'm going to take this one egg. And, you know, the expression egghead sometimes would be, you know, you're not thinking right, you're not clear, you're just being dumb about it, that type of a thing, right? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this egg and put it vertically in my hand, and my hand represents God. Not my hand, but the hand represents God, right? And God, we are in God's hands as God's children. And he does what he wants to shape us and form us and to make us into what he wants us to be. Now, this egg, I'm going to squeeze it in just a moment. But the point is that there comes a point of resistance. See, I'm squeezing. And I'm really doing it. If someone wants to come up and try, they're more than welcome to. Okay, I'm squeezing. My knuckles are getting white. I'm really squeezing. There's a sense of resistance there. Now, as we follow God, you know, when we think about resistance to God, we always think about obstinance, stubbornness, sin, angry with God. That's not the type of resistance I'm talking about. I'm talking about the resistance due to lack of the knowledge that God wants us to have about him. He works, we're in his hands, and he's working to transform us, to teach us about him and his ways. And the resistance is that a lot of times as Christians, because we don't understand his way, we depend on our way that causes resistance against God, and we don't live in his way. Does that make sense? Our logic does not reveal God's way. And oftentimes we live in our logic because we haven't learned God's way. And that's the resistance that's being referred to here. And I really am pressing as hard as I can right here. Okay? So that's the egg right there. Now this egg is another Christian. And all of us have places and times in our life where, and continue through our walk, where we're learning about God's way. And God's way through circumstances. And sometimes we are in a circumstance and we're frustrated. We even sin with anxiety about it. God doesn't want us to be anxious about anything. And something happens. We change our motive. We change from standing up doing our way to say, God, I don't get it. I don't understand. But I now lay myself before you. And because I lay myself before you, I will trust you to take care of whatever you want to do to change me, to make me that vessel that's useful for you. Okay? So when God's hand is on us and we're this way, when we've yielded ourselves this way to God, something has to happen in our life. Well, come on. There. Okay? To a certain degree, who wants to shake my hand? To a certain degree, we have to be broken by God through circumstances sometimes. And sometimes through our circumstances that we don't understand, we come to a place where I give up, God, I'm just going to trust you. And what happens then is God begins to teach us his way. And then we learn about the benefit of his way. And we learn the power of God. And we learn to recognize God working in ways through our life that we never thought was possible. Because the truth is, if I were to crack an egg normally without the shell, how much can that shell be used? How much can an egg be used? It can be boiled, fried, poached, baked, used for dinner meals, you name it. There are countless ways an egg can be used. But unless it's broken open, it's not going to be useful. So you and I have to be willing to say, okay, God, when I don't get it, when I don't understand, when you're working my life in such a way that I'm trying to be faithful, but things aren't going there the way I think they should go, that we have to resolve not to resist his will, but to yield our will to him. Okay? And so when we do that, we learn. Okay? So the egg was real, by the way. Okay? We saw that. Does that make sense? There's a resistance that comes through not knowing the way of God. The only way we learn the way of God is by yielding ourselves in submission to him and saying, okay, God, now teach me. I want to know what you're trying to teach me so I can be used more by you. So praise God for that. Now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. Thank you for helping me through that illustration. But Father, all of us in our Christian walk, as we pursue you, come to circumstances in our life that we don't understand, that are difficult for us, that we have a choice whether we plow through by faith or we give up without hope. You've called us to continue to walk in faith, continue to surrender ourselves to you, that you will reveal to us your hand, your work, your purpose, because when we see that and we're in that, our joy is great no matter what the challenges are that's around us. That's a reality as we yield ourselves to you. So, Father, I pray that you'll bless this message, that you'll use it today for your kingdom and for your glory, that each one of us will receive what you have for us to receive, but each one of us as your sheep will be fed, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I am excited this morning about this message that I'm going to preach in this series that we've begun called the Exchange Life. We've been talking about the Exchange Life. And the theme of this message today for the Exchange Life is the total surrender of ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Hence, yielding ourselves down. Laying ourselves down instead of standing up, but yielding ourselves down before God. And so we are to find ourselves in total surrender to the Holy Spirit. And as you know, through this study, we're taking quotes from missionaries and Christian leaders and other Christians that we can take their life experience quotes and apply them to Scripture. I've mentioned this one particular missionary before. He's one of my favorite missionaries, and his name is Adoniram Judson Jr. And he lived from 1788 to 1850, and he was an American. He was an American Congregationalist, and a Baptist missionary, and he served in Burma for 40 years. Okay, at the age of 25, Adoniram Judson became the first Caucasian Protestant missionary sent from North America to preach in Burma. His mission and work with Luther Rice led to the formation of the first Baptist Association in America to support missionaries. Judson's brilliant mind allowed him to learn the Burmese language and translate the Bible for the Burmese people. There are few in the history of our church who have suffered so much for the cause of Christ as Adoniram Judson. I might add to that he had three wives, two of them died. He had multiple children. Many of them died. He was imprisoned in a prison that was just disgusting. He was persecuted. The list goes on and on and on. But he remained faithful to what God wanted him to do. And so as his faith and perseverance through those difficult challenges of pain, they resulted in something. That of him yielding his life to the Holy Spirit. It's a choice. We can either look at the circumstance and stand vertical and resist what God is trying to reveal about himself to us, resist what he wants to teach us, or we can bow ourselves down before him, submit to what's going on, and let him teach us what he wants to, that our joy in him may just increase and grow and grow and grow. Let me give you a quote from one of the things that he said. To clearly follow Christ, we must know the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let me say that again. To clearly follow Christ, we must know the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but it costs much.
to obtain this power. It costs self-surrender and humiliation and yielding up of our most precious things to God. It costs the perseverance of long waiting and the faith of strong trust. Are we willing to make those commitments? Because that's the total commitment to the Holy Spirit. That's the laying down of our life as God intends for us to do. He goes on to say, but when we are really in that power, we shall find this difference, that whereas before it was hard for us to do the easiest things, now it is easy for us to do the hardest. Because of God's grace. Because of our heart yielded to God. Because of our dependency on Him and His power, not our own. Because our heart has surrendered instead of said, no, I don't want to. Those type of things. The Apostle Paul knew these things, for he was hated in Jerusalem, wasn't he? Okay? Beaten almost to death and taken outside of the city walls to die. Yet the Holy Spirit led him back to Jerusalem to be a witness for Christ the Messiah. We know the story of Paul. He was Saul. He hated Christians that were called those of the way. He persecuted and killed people because of their faith in Christ. And yet on the road to Damascus, his life changed. He became a believer in Christ. He became a powerful servant of God as one of the chosen apostles of Christ. And now he's totally surrendered to Christ and whatever he wants. And Jerusalem hated him. And yet the Holy Spirit says, go back to Jerusalem. The people in Jerusalem beat him up and left him outside the city walls as dead. And the Holy Spirit says, go back to Jerusalem. In fact, those that were around him said, Paul, don't go because you'll be killed. And yet the Holy Spirit says, not only go back to Jerusalem, but you will be persecuted. You will have hardships. You will have pain. You will have these challenges. It will not be an easy task. But Paul said, I will go back because my life has been surrendered to God's, to God. And having done that, he relied on the very power of God, that which would seem to be impossible or the hardest thing to do became easy in Christ Jesus. He relied on him to do it. Look at Acts 20, chapter 20, verses 22 through 24. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But more of these things move me, nor do they count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. We always have a tendency to look at these statements from Scripture regarding the apostles and stuff as being them called in ministry. Or we, in today's times, may look at, well, you were called to be a pastor. You were called to be a youth director. You were called fill in the blank. But all of us are called to have a ministry that God wants us to carry out. All of us have been called into the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so, as he yielded to the Holy Spirit, he was willing to do so he can know that he finished the race in his life with joy. Not only was Paul totally surrendered to the Holy Spirit leading his life, even into the threatening situations where he could be killed, he still obeyed what he was told to do. Okay, now there's another person I want to look at in Scripture that did the same thing. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through 60. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. If you haven't figured it out yet, that's the deacon Stephen, and he was as interesting as studying in these that the deacons preached. Our deacons can get preachy sometimes, don't they? But it's a good preaching, okay? So here we have Stephen, a deacon, and he was preaching to the religious leaders of Israel about all the prophecy of the Messiah to come, and then he preached about Jesus as the Messiah who came, and how they rejected him and didn't know the scriptures, and that's why they were mad at him, okay? And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, isn't that cool? And said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." What an honor. Stephen standing up boldly for Christ, surrendering all that he has to Christ, being yielded to him in every way, regardless of what the circumstance is. And God is in heaven. Jesus in heaven, next to the Father, stands up, unveils his throne, and allows him to see, Stephen to see him. And Jesus is in effect standing, giving him honor as he represents Jesus and dies for his, dies as a martyr for Christ. When you and I are living for Christ the way he's called us to, wouldn't it be a nice thought that he would be standing, honoring us? How cool would that be? Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, as we know that is Paul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He was duplicating what Jesus said on the cross there to some degree, wasn't he? As the example that Jesus gave him. And so we find a great example with the Apostle Paul and the deacon Stephen, those who have totally surrendered their lives to the Holy Spirit's leading at any cost, as well as Adoniram Judson. Dying and laying down our lives for Christ does not have to be physical. Because we think about these testimonies, we read about them in the Scripture, and we think, well, I'm not in a circumstance in America today where I'm going to be persecuted, where I'm going to be killed, where I'm going to be, well, we might be hated. Okay? We may even be killed, but it's not a prominent threat to us. And yet, as the fill-in says, dying and laying down our lives for Christ does not have to be physical, right? That surrender for them brought them to a place where they were physically killed or endured physical hardships beyond most people. But we don't always have to face those physical challenges in our lives to lay down our lives to Christ. Romans 12:1 tells us very clearly, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." We're to lay down our lives as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to God. That is total surrender to the Holy Spirit. And let me add something there. This is not, as much as we struggle, when we get to that place, it is not an event that takes place here and there in our lives. There is a place in our Christian walk that God leads us to embrace, that we say, "I'm going to lay down my life to you. My life's no longer my own. And no matter what happens, I'm going to follow you. No matter what direction, no matter what provision or lack of provision, no matter what challenge, I have decided concretely in my heart that my relationship with you is most important, and I will follow you and yield myself to you as that living sacrifice completely." And that decision has been made solidly for the rest of your life. It's part of your lifestyle. It's not something, okay, today I'm ready to lay down my life to you. Sure, there are days that we say, "Lord, I lay down my life to you, and I want to yield to you, and I want to walk in the fullness of your Spirit, and I want to be close to you, and I want to be used by you." But that's different than having come to the lifetime decision of saying, "My life is yours, and I am committed the rest of my life to live for you, because my relationship with you and your purpose in my life is what I desire." That's the decision. And so, not all of us make that decision, but all of us should make that decision. because it's there that we find the fullness and richness of God in our lives. Listen to this testimony and quote from a pastor by the name of Robert C. Haverson. Now, guarantee you, you're going to find this interesting, okay? Not that the other wasn't, but you're going to see the difference in this, because he was called to, get this, he was called to the pastorate of First Presbyterian Church right here in Kalinga in 1947. Okay? And he served there for 3 years. Now, I want you to hear this quote that Pastor Haverson said about serving here in Kalinga. After 2 years in Kalinga, I entered into a period of disillusionment that became so acute, I felt I must leave the ministry unless something happened to alter the situation. This was resolved when, after 2 weeks of intense aloneness and spiritual wrestling, accompanied by the feeling that God had put me aside for further useful service, I finally told the Lord I was going to serve Him the rest of my life, whether there was any fruit or blessing in that service, and whether or not He would finally accept me into heaven. In other words, whether it was time for him to go to heaven or not. You see, that's the total surrender. That's where he says, my thought, he's saying, is I have my agenda, I have my goal, I know what I want to see, and I want to see this abundance of fruit. And where he came to was, it doesn't matter if I see the fruit or not. What matters is that I've surrendered to you, and I will be in the place doing what you want me to do, serving you as you call me to. That's total surrender. It's not about the output. And you know, I have to tell you, even as in the ministry with other pastors, there is that air, and it's normal amongst human beings, where there's this prestige status where I know Kathy and I have been literally shunned from pastors that have, so to speak, risen up the escalon of the ladder. They've gotten all the status and prestige and everything they have, and when they find out where we're at, they have literally shunned us, even in that of the ministry. But where we are is not a bad place. It's a good place. It's a good place because God is doing His work and He's put us where He wants to, and the outcome is not judged by people but by God. God's the judge. We know in Revelation there can be a church that can have everything and have all the acclaim and have all the credit and have all the wow and all the multitudes of people, and God looked at him and judged him and said, you are empty, you are naked, you are everything I don't want you to be. And so it's not the judgment of the world or even our peers. It's the commitment that says, we will be totally surrendered to you, dear Holy Spirit. We will be in your will, where you have us to be, doing your will for your glory and for your praise. There are many Christians that have come to this conclusion. In Galatians 2:20 it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that I now live is the life that I live by faith in the Son of God. That's total surrender. My life, I live in God. Whatever His will is, I want. Now, granted, we fall and we sin and we fall short. But again, God knows our human nature. He knows our weaknesses. But the overall heart is, and the evidence of that is our committed surrender to Him and His purpose for our life is ongoing with perseverance. When Adoniram Judson was in the prison cell with feces and everything else from hundreds of men in that jail sitting in it, and at night when they were hung by their feet upside down for all night until they were released in the morning, never was faith given up, because he knew his life was totally surrendered to God. So this is what is being said here, that when we come to that place of that total surrender to God, our purpose in life is that. And whatever comes with it because we're in His will and it glorifies Him. But look at this, what Pastor Haverson continued to write. Furthermore, I was willing to be buried for the rest of my life in Kulinga and serve in obscurity there or anywhere. I'm not involved in the association very much because we live way out here. There is a sense of out here, but you know what? I love out here. I love Kulinga. And I love what God does. And so a man that was writing about Haverson, Pastor Haverson, by the name, he's an author, by the name of V. Raymond Edmond, concluded that this of Richard Haverson. Says, life is different, altogether new, wonderful, and meaningful, because the old life of self has been exchanged for the new life in Christ. That's cool. That's cool. For Pastor Haverson, he came to that place where he said, it doesn't matter the outcome. What matters is my relationship being surrendered in God, that I learn about His ways and His purposes, that I'm in the center of His will, that I'm experiencing Him and His power, that I have, and that result of that is that I have joy and peace and confidence and assurance in Him, no matter what I'm facing. So life is different, altogether new, wonderful, and meaningful, because the old life of self has been exchanged for the new life in Christ. So each of these men, the Apostle Paul, Stephen, Adoniram Judson, Richard Haverson, what did they do? They made a decision to give their lives over to Christ and had committed to follow the Holy Spirit wherever and however He led them. Every time someone's baptized, I ask them, are you ready to follow Christ no matter what, wherever He leads and goes? Without exception, they say yes. That's the intent. But you have to come to the place where you say, that's all I want. That is my total surrender. I want to follow You whatever it is, whatever the cost, no matter how much it frightens me. You are my Father. You are there. I'm in Your hands. And whatever Your will is absolutely the best because You created me for it. How cool is that? They were willing to follow the Holy Spirit wherever and however He led them. And they had experienced the exchanged life. Look at Colossians 1:10-12. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who was qualified, and or that word means meet, M-E-E-T, us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has qualified us. He has made us meet. He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now that word meet in the Greek in the means qualified. And it means or meet or qualified, okay? And it's pronounced hikano'o. And again, it means to make or to make sufficient, render fit, to equip one with adequate power to perform one's duties. God has already made us able. He's already made us sufficient. He's already made us fit. He's already equipped us. He's already given us the adequate power that's needed to perform all the duties He's called us to do. Not us, but through Him. It's better stated to allow Him to do all the things He wants to do through us, instead of us doing what we can do. It's what He can do through us. And so to be qualified or made able to do what God wants us to do can only be accomplished through total surrender to the Holy Spirit. See, we can serve God, we can be faithful to God, but to be totally surrendered to God, we discover all that God wants to do. Final quote that I'd like to look at is again from Adoniram Judson. He says, as Christians, have we not had contact with a divine force, but with a divine person? Instead of praying constantly for the descent of the divine influence, there was now a surrender, however imperfect, to a divine and ever-present being. Instead of a constant use of the Holy Spirit for doing my work, there arose a clear and abiding conviction. It's not that we come in contact with the divine force, but the divine person, right? And instead of praying constantly that the Holy Spirit come and fill this place, what we need to be praying for is that the divine influence would work in and through each of our lives. It comes from us being surrendered to Him. It comes from us with a heart that says, I'm yours. It comes from us with a hunger for Him and His Word, that the Holy Spirit moves in us. That's the key to the drawing of the Holy Spirit in our midst. That the true secret of service lay in so yielding to the Holy Spirit that He might use me to do His work. Finally, let's look at Acts 8, 26 and 27. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Now, before we go any further, the story here is that Philip, preceding this, because it says, now the angel of the Lord spoke, that before that, Philip, a deacon, there's three Philips in the Bible. This guy was a deacon. So he was preaching the gospel in Jerusalem and in Samaritan villages, which is really unusual. And it was successful. And he had a vibrant ministry. And God called him to go down to the desert. To the desert. Now, before we continue reading, I had a pastor, Kathy and I had a pastor in Knoxville, Tennessee. And church was huge. 3,500 people every Sunday, balcony full, TV ministry, books, just, you know, huge church. As far as on a hill, Sevier Heights Baptist Church, Knoxville, Tennessee. Okay? Three sets of double doors going in, Pilum's southern architecture, red brick, huge lawns, everything. He drove an old Cutlass 88. He had a wife and three kids. My point is coming. God led him to leave that with another family and start another church in another community that had nothing. See, it's not about going up the ladder. It's about being in the will of God. And Philip, here had a vibrant ministry, but the Holy Spirit said, Philip, I need you to come here. In fact, I'm telling you to go to Gaza in the desert. And he didn't question it. He just went. You see, that's the total surrender. It's not the outcome, it's the faith in Him that matters. So he rose and went. The Philip mentioned here, as I've already said in this passage, is one of the seven men or deacons chosen to serve the widows in Jerusalem. And Philip heard from the angel of the Lord. He didn't stop and question the instructions, okay, that he'd been given. He just arose and went and did as he was told, right? He was called before to wait on tables to serve the widows in Jerusalem, but God was calling him to go to Gaza. And I want us to look at the result of what happened in Gaza. It's one of my many very favorite passages and stories in the Bible. Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Here's this eunuch official, an official from Queen Candace, from Ethiopia, going to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. He's in the desert of Gaza. He has his chariot stopped. He has a, what do you call that? You know, the guy that drives the big limousines?
Chauffeur.
He has a chauffeur of his golden, if you will, chariot. Has him stop. He's sitting there. He's reading the scriptures, okay? But he's on the way to Jerusalem to worship, okay? And Peter had gone down there and saw him and was there to minister to him. And he explained to him all the prophecies regarding the Messiah in the Old Testament. And then he preached to him that Jesus was the Messiah, okay? And that's when, in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." What precious, rich words coming from this Ethiopian leader. Okay. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. He told the chauffeur, "Stay still, be there." And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I would love that experience. I think that's just the coolest thing. If you think Star Trek had something cool, I tell you what, that's a lot cooler. And I would just love that experience, because that is in, because of his full surrender to Christ, because of his faithfulness to go where he led him, because he went to Gaza and had the wonderful privilege of planting not only the seed, but leading this man with the gospel of Christ and her take back to his country, that by fact has become one of the most prominent countries of Christianity in church history and historical events. And so here we have Philip was caught up away so that the eunuch saw him no more. That must have been shocking to the eunuch. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. What a journey. Total surrender to God and a no clue of what God's going to do with our lives. But what a joy. What a journey. What power. What joy in being used of by God that way. So Philip's total surrender to following the Holy Spirit's instructions led to powerful witnessing that bore immediate fruit. And then the Holy Spirit took him to his next assignment in Azotus. Assignment after assignment after assignment. Unexpected assignments. Unexpected ways. Unexpected outcomes. Total surrender. The fullness of joy. Like Halverson said in Kalinga, I came to a place where my joy and the wonder of God was just overflowing. Because when we let go and say, my focus is just you to be in your will, whatever that is. And so the exchange life of total surrender enables each of us to experience the blessings of the Holy Spirit's power working through our lives. I want to experience that. I'm sure you do too. It is here that the exchange life magnifies and glorifies God. Can we see that exchange life magnifying and glorifying God? These examples. And God has that just for you and I as well. As we surrender in that true surrender, that we've made that commitment, that there's no doubt that the rest of my life, we have committed it to being in God's will for his purpose. And we will experience God in ways that we never thought would happen. Praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I want to thank you for your blessings. I want to thank you for the challenge, but also the great consolation of knowing that we can have the fullness of the joy of you in our lives in ways that we could never expect, by yielding our lives in total surrender to you. That you being the most important relationship, you being the most important purpose of our lives, and following that purpose is one of the greatest adventures that we could ever be on. So give us each the faith to continue to yield ourselves to you and to discover all those wonders that you have set before us. For your glory, for your honor and praise, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. we will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you